All right, it is good to see everybody, and we just praise God on this Veterans Day weekend as we do the second sermon in our series about enlarging our spirit of gratitude unto God. It's not about increasing what we have. The goal of a Christian is to increase their spirit of gratitude for what God has already given us. And so today is a simple message entitled Giving Thanks to God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 will be the focal verse. But as we begin, in Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, Paul is reciting a prayer that he prays for the church at Colossae. And he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." And then he starts praying for them all these wonderful things. That we need to pray for ourselves and for our loved ones and for our children. To desire that you might be filled. To desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That you would be fruitful in every good work and increase in your intimate knowledge and your relationship with Jesus. You know, I need to get to know you better, Lord. You know, any relationship we've ever been in, we just, Patty and I have been together since we were 16. And we're approaching 60. And I continue to discover how wonderful God has blessed me with such a wonderful, wonderful spouse. And we just continue to grow. And the Lord wants us to grow in our relationship about Him. You know, and the beautiful thing is, you know, I'm here to tell you, God is wonderful. Jesus Christ is wonderful. And He's more and more wonderful. And so this is the prayer that you would increase, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, and all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. You know, we're going to look at some of that in other verses. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of this glorious inheritance here on earth and in the life to come. He's delivered me from the power of darkness, translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son, and I've been bought and redeemed by His own blood, and my sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, we say thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, let everyone in this place know how much you love them. How much you care for them. And Father, I just thank you for each family represented. And Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, weekly sin that I've confessed to you out loud. And Father, I pray to be cleansed by your blood, but changed by your spirit of righteousness. And Father, mortify the areas of my flesh and replace them with areas of spiritual righteousness in you. Father, let me get out of the way and allow you to do this work in me. Let us all do that. Holy Spirit, touch every heart today. Let every heart hear what you want to say to them with your still small voice. Not me, Lord. Whatever you want to whisper to their hearts and minds and impress upon them as we look at your glorious scripture. Holy Spirit, lead us now. In your name we pray. Amen. Simple message as we prepare in a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude throughout this entire month. But notice what it says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto God. Would you say that with me? Giving thanks unto God. Would you say that again? Giving thanks unto God. We're going to look at that word again in the Greek, Eucharistos. We studied it last week. But what I want to share with you now is the giving thanks unto God. When you are giving thanksgiving, there's always got to be a source. When you're offering a spirit of gratitude, there's always got to be a source. And so as Christians, I'm not here today to tell you, boy, I'm sure thankful for my life, or I'm sure thankful for all God, for all I have. I'm here to tell you I'm thankful for my life unto God. I'm thankful for all I have unto God. Because, you know, you hear folks in the secular world say that all the time. Boy, we sure are thankful. You are? Yeah, we sure are thankful. I sure am grateful for this life. And then they stop there, and I want to say, especially these folks that are always giving each other awards, but I want to stop and say, you know, what are you who are you thankful to? You know, have you ever heard somebody say, boy, I just thank my lucky stars? You do? Oh man, the fates have been kind. Boy, the fates have been kind to us. Oh boy, I lucked up in this one. No, my dear friend, I want you to understand something. We don't thank our lucky stars. We don't thank our lucky charms. You know, those are breakfasts. What we are to do is to thank the source. This is James 1:18, right? Every good gift, every blessing comes down from who? The Heavenly Father. The one who made the stars. And so notice that phrase. Just look at it. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto God. Now, why is it important that the Christian stress this, especially today? Go with me to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, you see the culture. You see the culture of the world right before the flood of Noah. And how it was bankrupt morally. And in Genesis it says every man's thought was on evil continually. But when Paul speaks of it in verse 18, he says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, and I don't know what version you have, but it should say there, who withhold the truth in unrighteousness. So he's talking about a culture of deceit and lies. When lies and deceit are prevalent in a culture. But notice what he goes on to say. He says that in verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible things like birds and four-footed beasts. In verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature instead of creator. Now, this is a culture that says God didn't create the world, and so they promulgate the lie of some other explanation for the creation of the world. This is a culture who worships idols and material things. This is a culture that worships the creature, the man, the person. This is a culture that worships science. This is a culture that is a me-first culture and an entitlement culture. Now notice what else happens. In verse 26, it says, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Even women did change the natural use of what it meant to be a woman against nature and the way they were created. Men left the use of woman in that natural way and burned in their lusts toward other men. And so it just goes on and on. What was prevalent in the culture before the destructive flood of Noah, which is prevalent in our culture and our world today. But I want you to understand what I'm preaching. Today's message is give thanks unto God. Let me show you one other component of that culture. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So we're going to stop right there. They glorified Him not as the only true God. So what did the culture say? Oh, there are many gods and there are many religions and everybody can just seek the truth any way they want to. And they call it inclusion or they call it whatever they want to call it. But they didn't glorify the one true God as the one true God. But then notice what it says. And neither were they thankful. So there was no spirit of gratitude. there was no spirit of gratitude unto God. Now, I want to tell you something, and I know this is going out over the website. I want you to understand, this is Veterans Day weekend. You know, Veterans Day, Saturday, and this nation has stopped on Friday, Saturday, and now Sunday to recognize our veterans and to recognize America. And as Cleo already prayed, he thanked two groups, or one group. He thanked our veterans, but he also thanked God for the blessings that America has known. And I want you to understand something. We live in a country, and we live in a culture now where God is not appreciated and God is not thanked. And I want you to understand something. I can remember our former president who made the statement a while back before this last election, is we've got a new president now. And he said, hey, he said, nobody's made it on their own in this country. He said, people think they've made it on their own. He said, the government's provided the roads, and the government's provided this, and the government's provided that. Well, the correction there is, and this isn't even my point, the government's never provided anything. Anything that's been provided has been paid for by the American people. The problem is they work for us. We don't work for them, but there's a group that don't understand that. But the bottom line is nothing in America has been provided aside from God. And God has blessed America with the resources. God has blessed America with the resolve. And God has blessed America with the victories that we have seen over these past 230-something years. So what we've got to understand, look at what it says. I mean, right in the middle of all this, it says they glorified Him not as God, and they were not thankful unto God. So as a Christian today, it's part of our witness to stand up and say, I give thanks unto God for all the blessings of life. Now, go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look at what the scripture says. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the scripture says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. All right? Be ye thankful. Imperative command. Be ye thankful. I want you to understand, if you wake up tomorrow morning and you're not thankful, I think you're sinning. If you go throughout the day and never thank God for some blessing that's come your way, I think you're sinning. The Word says we are to be thankful. We're to recognize and acknowledge, hey, I walked in this room today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, I'm not on a feeding tube today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, I got a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be ye thankful. And let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Lift up each other in spiritual songs, singing with grace into your heart unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God by the Father to Him. All right, here we go again, giving thanks. Eucharistos. It's a Greek word. And it means this. It means to express or to show oneself grateful. To express or to show oneself grateful. Secondly, it means to be grateful within one's heart and to express that gratitude to God in words or acts. So notice the definition here. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God by the Father in Him. So that's the definition. You might say, you know, I'm so thankful. Well, if you're so thankful, you're showing the world that you're thankful. If you're thankful, there are actions in your life. I want you to understand there's always a biblical connection between the inward and the outward. Say, what do you mean, Brother Leo? That word Eucharistos means having a grateful heart and expressing it with your hands, your feet, and your tongue. With your lips and your life. All right? Now, that's a biblical definition. It's a connection. And there's always a connection between the inward and the outward. You love me? Huh? Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. Well, feed my sheep. Not just love me and don't do anything. If you love me, feed my sheep. Well, what's John 15, 13 says? It says this, greater love hath no man than this, period. No. Greater love hath no man than this, period. No. Greater love hath no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friend. So true Christian love is not only in the heart of Jesus, it was in the action of Jesus Christ on the cross. True Christian love is not only in your heart, it's in your action toward your loved ones, toward people you don't even know. There's always a connection between the inward and the out. You got faith? Oh yeah, Brother Leo, I got faith. But you know, my faith's a private thing. It's just between me and the Lord, and it's a private. No, my friend, that's not biblical. Faith without works is a dead faith. It's not a living faith. Faith without works doesn't save you. If you say you have faith, I will not only say I've got faith, I'll show you my faith, what? By my works. Always a connection between the inward and the outward. Always a connection between the inward and an outward. Did you get saved? You've been saved? So yeah, Brother Leo, I've been saved. Well, let me tell you what it tells you about salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was raised from the dead, and then if you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. He's saying if you've got an inward belief in your heart and it's saving faith, it's going to come out of your mouth. Amen. I would have a real problem with somebody saying, you know, I got saved 30 years ago, but I never told anybody about it. Or I got saved 30 years ago and I never saw any changes in my life. Or I got saved 30 years ago and my family can't even tell I got saved. I want you to understand there's always a connection between the inward and the outward. I want to tell you something right now. I've been with you people over 20 years. I've been in the ministry 33 years. The bottom line is when I get in a pulpit, I am claiming that I was called by God when I was 24 years old and I was anointed by the Holy Spirit to teach the Word of God. And if you don't sense that, then it's not real in me. And if you don't sense that, then I'm claiming something on the inside that is not manifesting itself on the outside. And it's the same way with anything we do unto the Lord. So, look at what the definition is. You are called to be thankful. In verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, whatever you do it with a spirit of gratitude. Everything you do must have a foundation that is the spirit of gratitude. What do you mean? Why'd you come to church? Well, I came to church out of an obligation. I came to church because my family's always come to church. I came to church because out of a habit. No, you come to church every Sunday thanking God for what He did for you last week and for your whole life up to this point. You come out of gratitude. When you stand up to sing a song, you're standing up to sing a song to honor Jesus with a spirit of gratitude. Saying, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what it is you've done for me. And so I'm going to sing unto your name. Anything you do it with a spirit of gratitude. Now, look at what the scripture says in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace and joy in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do it in His name, giving thanks. When your heart is filled with gratitude, you serve the Lord with joy. You know why we're going to practice with these little children over the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks? And we're going to do it with joy because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for our children. For what Jesus Christ has done for our grandchildren. for how good the Lord has been. When you are serving the Lord with a great... You know why I get in this pulpit every Sunday? Because I can never repay Him for what He's done for me. And I'm not even talking about salvation yet. We're going to get to that. But everything after salvation, everything before salvation, every advantage He has blessed us with in this life, I can't help but do something for the Lord. You're going to retire one day. You're going to quit one day. I would feel very guilty if I were to do that. Now, if the Holy Spirit were to move on me manifestly, I would have to be obedient. But just to do it on a whim or do it not sure, no way. Because the Lord, you do things with a grateful heart. And when you're doing it out of gratitude, you're going to have joy when you serve the Lord. And I've been in churches long enough to know, and going back to my first church, you know, there are times people do things out of drudgery, even in a church. And it's burdensome. And they don't have any joy, and they hate doing it. And you know what many, many people have told me over the years? Well, I'll do it if nobody else will do it. You know, and that's a huge sin. I'm glad Jesus Christ didn't say to the Father in Gethsemane, well, I'll do it if nobody else will do it. You know, I'll go to the cross if you're not going to bring Abraham or Elijah back to go to the cross. I'll go to the cross if Peter won't go. You know, I'm glad Jesus Christ didn't take that attitude. I'm going to do it because of what He did for me on that cross. You know, I'm going to do it for what He's done for me in my life. And so when there is a spirit of gratitude, there's going to be a spirit of joy. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at, look, you're familiar with this scripture. You may not know where it is, but you'll recognize it when we get to it, because we say this phrase all the time, but there's a whole lot more to it than just this one phrase. In verse 6 it says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you go back to verse 5, he says, you gave out of your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as of covetousness. I just want to say, God, today, I want to thank you for the bounty. You say, Brother Leo, what is bounty? Bounty is when you've got more than you need. And every American in the world, I believe, every American in this country, for the most part, in many, many situations, has more than they need. Now, there are folks in need in this country that the Christians need to be helping. But if I look out over this room and most of the people that I know that listen to this website, we have been blessed bountifully. Bountifully. And so this is what he is speaking of. So you are to sow out of that bounty. Verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart. Okay, here's the biblical definition. Before you give, whatever it is, of your time, of your effort, of your ability, of your money, whatever it is, your heart's got to be right. Amen. All right? Now, so notice what he says. He says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not out of obligation or necessity. Because God loves you when you do something for someone else, saying, thank you, Lord, I'm filled with joy. What if the Beatitudes say it is more blessed to give than to receive? What that means is, because I'm more blessed, I'm going to give. Thank you, God, I'm not in the position where I need to receive. And so many times, Chrissy, everything's good, don't you worry about that. Patty cries like that every time I come home. So I'm used to that. Every time, you know, I pull out the driveway, she's dancing, I come home. But what I want you to understand, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, look at what it says in verse 8. God is the one who is able to make all grace and blessings and bounty abound towards you. Everything I've gotten, God has been the one that has showered me. Amen. Everything I've got. I feel a debt to the nation of Israel. I told you last week, Patty and I support the nation of Israel through various ministries. Why? Because Paul said, from the nation of Israel, we receive the oracles of God, which is the Bible. The Bible is my life, not only because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a child of God. And then Paul also said, through the nation and bloodline of Israel, we have received Messiah. So my Savior came through them. So am I not going to support the nation of Israel? You better believe I'm going to support the nation of Israel. Because Paul and the Word tell me, and the Holy Spirit convicts me. But notice what he says. Always having all sufficiency in all things. All right, God's given me all this stuff. Why? So I can enjoy it? Yes. So I can just have it and just look at it? No. He's given me all this so that I may abound to every good work. And he's quoting Psalm 112 here, as it is written. We are expected to give, to help the poor, and it's an act of our righteousness. We are to minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness, and you will be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us what? Thanksgiving unto God. Paul is thanking God for how generous the church has been to him. And so, anything we do, do it in the name of Jesus, so that you don't get credit, but God gets. And if somebody says to you, boy, I'm just a, hey, look, you look them dead in the eye and you say, look, the only reason I'm here is because of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus blessed me with a little something. I can help you maybe or whatever. And all glory goes to the Lord. All glory goes to the Lord. Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to close out with this verse today. And I used it last week, but I want you to understand just a few short things out of it. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the scripture says this. By him, by Christ Jesus. Now what's he to? Why, how we know he's talking about Jesus? Because up here in verse 12, he says, Jesus offered his sacrifice by his own blood outside the walls of Jerusalem. So he's talking about sacrifice here. If you go back a little further, he talks in verse 10 about the altars and the tabernacles and the sanctuary and the high priest. He's writing to Hebrews now, so they understand what a temple is and what a priest is. But in verse 15, he's given them a new covenant understanding. And he says this, by Jesus, therefore let us offer some sacrifices. So I want you to understand something. Your body is God's temple. My body is God's temple. That's biblical. Your words, your actions are part of this temple. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you have an altar in your heart. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. All right, that's in word. But to do good, here's deed. You are to communicate, that word's koinonia, and it means to help the poor or to give alms. It's the same word that means to assemble with a purpose, but it also means to help the poor or to give alms. So to do good and to help the poor, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now in the Levitical law, they actually had a sacrifice of thanksgiving. They had a sacrifice when you committed a sin. They had a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So you say, Brother Leo, how in the New Testament am I to offer up a sacrifice unto God of thanksgiving? Two ways. You're to do it with your lips, and you're to do it with your actions. You're to do it with your lips, and you're to do it with your actions. You're to help somebody who is in need. You say, well, Brother Leo, I don't know anybody in need. Well, I would ask God to open that door for you. and he'll open that door. He'll show you a whole bunch of folks that are in need. And the blessings will pour out on you like Christ. Now, I want you to notice one word here before I close. Look at what it says. He says in verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." You say, "Brother Leo, why should I continually offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God?" Because whether you realize it or not, every moment that you breathe, you are continually being blessed by God. "Oh, I've had a bad day." My friend, you got blessed by God all day long. "Oh, this happened, and my friend, you got blessed by God all day long." I want to praise God that I can continually thank God for His blessings, because He continually, every morning, every day, every evening, bestows upon me fresh mercy, help, and blessings. Isn't that wonderful? Man, as y'all were singing, "Emmanuel, God is with us," is that not enough just to thank Him for? What's something you could thank Him for? Well, you could thank Him for, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I want to thank you for that continually, Lord. "You'll never leave me nor. I'll never allow more to come on you that you cannot bear, and will with each temptation, trial, or storm make a way of deliverance and a pathway for you to walk and gain strength as you go through this trial and tribulation." I can thank Him continually for that. "All things are continually working together for good to them that love God and are the called to His purpose. Even things we call bad things, they work out for the good." Amen. And God is working a purpose. So I want to thank God for all those things, but the key cornerstone of thanksgiving that forms that foundation is verse 12. "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify Leo Doyle," or the people, he's talking about Jews, Hebrews here, "with His own blood, He allowed Himself to be a sacrifice outside the gates of Jerusalem." I want to read you a quote that I wrote. "I am not working or serving God out of necessity or obligation to gain my salvation. I am proceeding forth in life from the moment of my salvation experience with a foundation of gratitude for what Christ did for me on the cross." We don't work for our salvation. We are serving God from our salvation with a spirit of gratefulness for what He did for us. You do it as unto God. You know, families aren't perfect. Churches aren't perfect. You say, "Brother Leo, I just can't work with these people. I'm going to have to go do this." Or you might say to your boss, "I can't work with these people," or "I can't deal with these people." My friend, you do what you do because of Jesus Christ. And a spirit of gratitude. "Thank you, Lord Jesus." I'm going to tell you something. You may teach school. You may be in a church. There's always going to be hard people you have to deal with. But the bottom line is this. There's going to be innocent people too. There's going to be precious little children. There's going to be all kind of things going on where these people deserve someone to minister to them and love them and shine your light for them. And those are the ones you've got to focus on for the sake of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks unto God. Would you say that with me? Giving thanks unto God. See, my friend, that is the foundation. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, before you say, "Good morning, sweetheart. I love you so much. I'm so glad we got married. You are the most beautiful woman in the world. You are the most handsome husband I have ever seen." Before y'all say all that stuff I know you say, I want you to say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, And then you can say, good morning, sweetheart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're going to pause for a moment. Judy, I'm going to ask you to play softly. We're going to pause for a moment and count some blessings. So, Father, I just pray you help us count these blessings. Help us to be grateful unto you. And help us, Lord Jesus, just say thank you. And we're going to offer up with our hearts. And we may be whispering, and that's okay. We're going to use our lips too. And we're going to say thank you, Lord Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, spend a few moments just thanking the Lord for many, many things.